Blog Talk Radio.
It's time, people.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, time to make it do what it do.
JC, you back, bro?
I'm here.
There it is.
Wake up, JQ.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, it disconnected me. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. It's having random things. I was like, I didn't do anything, man. I didn't touch the board or anything. But we are happy to
I want you daydreaming like Andre.
You know what, Rob? You about to get muted, bro. I'm telling you, bro.
Hey, man, you had two straight weeks of daydreaming, man. You got to be called out on it.
I wasn't daydreaming, bro. I put the phone on mute, bro. You know what I'm saying? I seriously put it on mute because I was doing something else, man. I ain't going to start with this, man. You know? Man!
To those of you all that are listening around the world, go back and listen to the last 2 weeks of the show.
I'm telling the honest truth, man. I mean, there's certain times where I straight up like, yo, I fell asleep. The one time that I put the phone on mute because I wanted to make sure you didn't hear something in the background, that's exactly what happened.
You're
like, oh, crap. You know, so whatever.
You're going to bust on third.
I was just making sure nothing was heard in the background. So, but... Talk about this. So we got to take some time in. I was putting the
lie on camera
after cooking dinner. If you want to know America, since we're going to talk about this, you want to know America, I cooked dinner, and I decided to go downstairs and literally clean up the dinner, clean up the dishes and pack
you.
It up and stuff like that, too.
That's exactly
what happened. So if you want to know,
that's what
I was doing. You can call my wife and you can verify with her, and she will say that's exactly what happened, too. So anything else with that? So that's why the phone was on mute. I didn't get a chance. I'm like, oh, I looked down. Oh, so that's what happened. So anyway, now that we can get
lie don't care
away,
who tells
start talking.
No, you know what? I heard him busting the suds. You heard me say he was washing the dishes. So I heard him busting them suds.
Yeah. So I was just trying to clean up, man. So trying to be a good husband. Now I'm getting like ragged, man. But
shout
that's
out
all
to Drake.
Good, man.
No,
so,
appreciate that.
Seriously.
Hey, happy wife, happy life.
That's what it's all about. Oh, I got my blood pressure up. Robin got my blood pressure. You know, I would cut him off the show, JQ, but he's got a couple good things to say, man. So that's the reason why I'm keeping him there. So, you know. Because me and JQ, we can talk. We can chop it up, man. So maybe we'll chop it up next week without Rob, see how that plays out, man. But anyway, it's all good.
He's trying to kick me off the show, man. That's cold blood.
I'm just. You can't come attack me, man. You can't attack the host, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's all. All right. So let's get this party started before I literally have an aneurysm from your boy Rob. You know. But anyway, today is Thursday the 25th. Talking Sports the 12th man. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, you have no idea how great it feels to be back in Atlanta and to be 67 degrees after being in Arizona outside of Phoenix and having it literally be 106 degrees, and that's without any kind of inflated feels-like temperature. It was a legitimate 106. This 67 degrees is like heaven, manna from heaven. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm sure you got a sunburn out there in that paddle wagon.
Man, you see me at night, all you're going to see is some eyes and some teeth.
Oh man! That's good times, man. So I guess the dry heat—that's not a true statement, man. The dry heat versus the actual heat—it's a dry heat,
but it's still hot than the mofo. I mean, there's no break from it. It's hot. You wake up, it's 8, 9 o'clock. It's already 97, 98 degrees. No lie, it's brutal. It's a beautiful place, but
nice.
It's brutal. That heat is tough.
Yeah. Yeah, like
the difference
between
the dry heat and the humid heat, the dry heat, if you're standing in the shade, is not so bad. Whereas in the humid heat, if you're in the shade, you still feel it. But if you're directly in that heat, in the dry heat, it's worse.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's worse.
If you're directly in the sun,
it is worse.
That is an excellent point. I could not agree with that anymore.
And how you feeling? And Rob, how you feeling this evening, man?
Man, doing great, man. Doing great. You know, we got to mess with you a little bit to start the show, but that's what makes it fun.
Absolutely. After hours, right, Rob?
Absolutely.
All right, so coming to you, boys.
Daydreaming already?
424. I'm not daydreaming. Call the show. Call it 404-242-243-9519. That's the number calling to the show. If you want to reach out to the boys, that's the one reference. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports. That's one way. And then last but not least, if you go to Facebook.com or if you literally type in Talking Sports and 12 Men, you will find us in that arena as well. So that's what we're doing. We're having a good time. And Rob dropped off. Oh, we got to get Rob back in. He dropped off. There it is. Okay. All right. What's up, Rob? You okay, man?
Man. You hung me up, man? Yeah. I didn't know you were going to do that to me.
phone call just got – Rob just got disconnected, folks. So we're good. Rob is back. So let's jump back in.
Man, you hung up on me, man.
You're not
going to be that serious about it.
Hey. You know, I'm just saying, man. That's the horny. That's the horny time, man.
Blog talk. So you mess with my homeboy? Goodbye.
Oh man!
I was letting you see that this is what's happening. I was letting you continue your conversation. So I figured you were gonna talk about what you ate for the evening, blah blah blah. So you didn't finish. All right. So I was literally waiting for you to finish the conversation. So that's what we normally do, right? JQ, then you like talk about what you ate for dinner, blah blah blah.
That's a true statement.
I'm sitting there listening.
Oh, man,
I'm waiting for you to finish what you're saying.
Char grilled pork chops.
Ooh.
And some char grilled pork chops with some. Fried green tomatoes and a nice salad. Yes. God is good.
All the time.
Yep.
All the time. All right. Let's get this party started, America. After the shenanigans are finally done, let's jump into talking sports with the 12th man, as we always do. So we got a lot of interesting topics, and I definitely want to talk about the NFL gentleman was pretty active this week. I know we're going to talk about Bill Belichick, how he pulls off a surprisingly good move. And I do want to talk about a lot of the changes, new rule changes. I'm sure you guys heard about the celebration rules, a lot of things that are happening. I think they're great moves. So hopefully you guys have some time to talk about that because I think it's fantastic to allow celebrations and little things like that, man. It's fantastic, man. So we'll talk about some of those classic moves and little celebrations you guys were a fan of. And obviously talk about some NBA. Obviously we know who's going to be in the finals now. We'll also talk about some mock draft. And some reports about Chris Paul considering joining the Spurs. And we talk about super teams. So, JQ, keep that line of thought about what we're talking about LeBron and Michael Jordan, too. But first and foremost, let's talk about Bill Belichick, how he pulls off another surprisingly good move. Rob, there's a lot of things I'm thinking in my head, so I'm sure I'll let you open up with that and your thoughts about this particular move that he made.
Well, it's a rather quiet move, but I think it's a sneaky good move. You know, bringing in another receiver that can help them out in the slot, give them some speed, who I think is a very smart football player, too. It was, 4.0 in college, things of that nature. He's smart on the field. Wide receiver Andre Hawkins from the Cleveland Browns. And obviously this is a guy that gets the opportunity to go to a better system, a better program, play with a better quarterback. Cleveland didn't have a quarterback. So I think it's a very sneaky move to add him to the mix with Brandon Cooks. And then you still have your other slot receivers, possession receivers in Hogan and Julian Edelman. So I think it's a very quietly, another sneaky move by Bill Belichick. And unfortunately, this is the reason why he's the best in the business.
What are your thoughts about that, JQ?
That means basically Danny Amendola, it's time to go ahead and clean out your locker and, get all your effects in order. In the Boston area, because I'm just think about it. For what Rob just said, you already got Gronk at tight end. You just got Brandon Cooks. You already got Amendola, and Amendola is probably, he is going to start in the slot most of the time, but he can sneak outside and let Andrew sneak in there. But if that's the case, then where does Danny Amendola play? And Hogan, as well on the outside. So, you're looking at Hawkins playing the slot in the four wide receiver set and sometimes in the three wide receiver set, depending on if they take Hogan out and shift Amendola outside. So I just don't – I mean, Edelman. So I just don't see any playing time for Amendola, but it's very sneaky. And Hawkins, I know he's an ex-Bengal as well, was very productive for us. It's another good move, and the fact that he said it, you know, I turned down other offers that was worth double the compensation to go to a contender, and guys get a little older, and if they do right with their money, you know, they're going to end up ring chasing, and I don't blame them, and that's just another solid move of, okay, he fits a need and will be perfect in our system, and he's going to take less money to do the whole Patriot way and try to grab Brady's coattails to one more Super Bowl.
Totally different from the it's totally interesting how those – you know, the NFL versus the NBA as far as chasing rings, too. But we'll talk about that as well. But, yeah, another interesting move. It looks like the Patriots are bringing back the Smurf receivers, it feels like. But, you know, it's good. It's interesting to see how that plays out for sure because, like you talked about, has that receiver, depth chart looking kind of like, you know, full right now with the Patriots, too. So, yeah, interesting, to say the least. Great move. Anybody named Andre is awesome in my book, man. So I'm happy about that,
oh,
man.
Boy.
So that was my little shot. Now, I mean, obviously I want the Patriots to kind of suck on it, but you know, hold on the conversation as we continue. But yeah, Belichick, good move, and it looks like they are stacking up for sure because they realize. I think they realize, guys, that they have to get better offensively at this juncture. Not to say they needed any help, you know, but you're going to add another piece to Tom Brady, you know, and that's just all you got to do, man. So we'll see about that if Bill Belichick continues to try to outsmart everyone in the league right now. Let's talk about the next topic, too, guys, about the six NFL QBs with a chance to become elite. Your thoughts on this. Do you have that list, JQ, or are you going to start with Rob on that?
I do, we may end up probably having a lot. I think there's a couple that I think are – right there on the cusp, and the charge led by David Carr. I don't know if I call him elite yet, but I think he's right toeing that line, and he's on that progression, that ascent to getting to elite. The Raiders got to stop messing around and go ahead and sign that dude and not get in the same boat that another one of my guys on the list. If Kirk Cousins is in with Washington, they're talking about franchising that dude again for like $34 million because they refuse to, you know, commit to him long term. I don't know what else they want right now. Yeah, I don't know what else they want right now, but he would be second on my list. All right, 2A, 2B with Jameis Winston. I love what they did for him, getting O.J. Howard and also, you know, pairing DeSean Jackson with Mike Evans. And the Cameron Brate was really good for them as well. So they could go two tight ends, two wide receivers. They get that running back and defense filled in a little bit. They can give Atlanta and New Orleans fits, I believe, and Carolina in that NFC South. The NFC South is going to be really, really, really fun. And somebody else I don't put as elite yet. He's got a Super Bowl, but Russell Wilson to me is not elite yet. I think he got a really good defense to help carry him. And if you read that article today about Richard Sherman still being mad about, you know, the throw on the 1 yard line and the tension in the locker room where Russell Wilson is viewed as the golden child, even though the defense has been a big part of what they've done, I think he has to take another step without Marshawn Lynch to try to, you know, become elite. I think it's going to be on his shoulders now. We'll see if it works out for him. And then two younger guys that I think have a chance, Marcus Mariota for Tennessee, I believe is on that. He's in that injury category with Derek Carr. I want to see how he bounces back. But when I watch Tennessee play, they have a sneaky good defense, and they got that ground and pound in the backfield. So he doesn't necessarily have to be great, but he can be with his feet and his arm. And then Ryan Tannehill, Miami, quietly making moves and getting better in that East. You know, for somebody that's a converted wide receiver in college to quarterback, that's amazing that we're even talking about him maybe trying to take that next step. But, you know, that defense is a little overrated, I think, in Miami. They got to get better. But he's got weapons there. And Ajayi breaking out last year in that backfield is really going to take a little pressure off him as well. So those are my six.
Nice. Very, very good list. I'll turn it over to you, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
Well, we have a lot of the same names here, but I'm going to start off with Derek Carr. I think when you look at the success that he had on last season and prior to the injury, he looks like he's going to be an elite passer in the NFL for years to come. And they can continue to put the weapons around him. That can be an elite offense, down the field thrower, accurate passer. He's got all the tools to be a very successful quarterback in the NFL for a long time. Another guy who's been around for quite some time now, but not quite ready to – I don't think he's in the elite category yet, but I think he's still got the potential to get there, and that's Matthew Stafford. He still has one of the strongest arms in the league, can get the ball down the field, and I think he's got a world of potential still that I don't think he's reached yet. But I think he still has an opportunity. Obviously, the Lions went to the playoffs on last year, and it could possibly he could finally start breaking through here with his arm talent that he has. Marcus Mariota, for sure, as JQ mentioned, obviously he got hurt as well. The Titans were playing really good at the end of the year. He's very diverse when it comes to offense. He can move the ball with his feet. He can move it with his arm. A lot of talent there as well. He could be another guy that could be moving up to that next stage when it comes to quarterbacks. Jameis Winston, of course, he's got the arm talent there, and he's got it upstairs too. A lot of people don't give him credit for that. He knows how to read defenses extremely well, so he's got it between the ears, and that's where it starts at the quarterback position. So he's got a lot of potential, a lot of weapons now. He had Deshaun Jackson to the mix, Mike Evans. He got O.J. from the Crimson Tide, Alabama. So they got a lot of weapons. Could be scary offensively. Dak Prescott, obviously, had a great rookie year. It's going to be interesting to see if he can build on that. He's got the mobility as well. He's improving as a thrower. He really shined in the Senior Bowl prior to the draft. And, you know, a lot of scouts didn't realize that he could run a pro-style offense, so they're really impressed with him there. And it's carried over into the NFL thus far. And then Ryan Tannehill, he finally kind of had a breakthrough year last year. The talent has always been there. He's got he uses his feet really well, good mobility, good arm talent, and finally had that breakthrough year. He could possibly be moving up to that next stage pretty soon too.
That's a good list. That's a good list. I think Matthew Stafford is elite, though. I would think that Matthew Stafford is elite. That's why I didn't include him. I ran through the teams in my mind. I would put him, you know, if you got something like if Derek Carr is like a toe, big toe right behind the line, I think Matthew Stafford is like just got his heel over the line. You know what I mean? Like he's not full blown into the category, but I feel like he's done enough for what he, you know, in Detroit to call him elite. But I mean, you could argue either way, and that's a good call. I had to put him there.
The same with Russell Wilson. I would probably put him in elite already. But I can understand your point too. I can understand your point on Russell too. But I guess I would already put him in the elite status just from the Super Bowl. Say he's going to two, is 1-1.
Got you.
So you think he's an elite quarterback right now though? I mean Russell. I mean I'm not. This is not me knocking. I'm just asking the question. So you think he's pretty elite right now? Is what you would say for a Russell?
I would definitely have him over there. I look at, you know, how many big time plays he's made to help his team win. And from that aspect, when you look at him doing it on with his feet and with his arms, is he going to be that quarterback that's going to throw for 45 touchdowns? I don't think he's that kind of quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be that kind of quarterback that would throw for that many touchdown passes like a Peyton Manning, a Drew Brees, or a Tom Brady, et cetera. But I think for what he does, you know, he's, you know, very diverse when it comes to offense. You know, he's going to get it done with his legs and with his arm.
That's the thing, too, because I thought about that whenever, you know, JQ mentioned a couple of things, too. Like, whenever, like you mentioned Matthew Stafford, I was like, that's a good call. Russell Wilson, those first thing I thought, I was kind of like, that's kind of teetering. I definitely agree with you guys. I mean, I've got Derek Carr in there because he has definitely reached that point. And I'm not trying to be a homer, but do you guys consider Matt Ryan already elite, or is he already there? Is he just kind of outside looking in? Would you call him elite yet, or is he kind of like?
I think last year he got there.
I'm asking the question because there's like literally Drew Brees, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. You got a list of quarterbacks that are already up there, so I don't know if you consider him like part of that elite status just yet. Because some people said he's good, but is he elite? I don't know.
Elite.
I'm just asking.
I think he's just elite. Matthew Stafford is elite for me. I think he's just elite. And I think he's one of those people like, you know, like the Premier League, like if you have a couple bad years, you can fall out where you haven't done enough to cement it forever. Like, I think those two guys could end up going, could slide back or they can move forward, but they're just, I don't know, put them just into that category, but they're not deep into that category.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Matt Ryan in the elite category. Obviously, he's taken – the Falcons to the Super Bowl. And there's been a couple other years when he's been really good. When Falcons have been number one seed in the NFC and just got upset in the playoffs. And so I have him in that elite category status.
Because there's some things, some people are kind of, like you said, kind of teeter on that. I had Dak Prescott as well. That's a good call, Rob. Another one that I want to get your thoughts on this, and this is a guy that, for whatever reason, he could be, and maybe it's due to the fact that he didn't have enough talent around him, the offensive lineman. I'm talking about Andrew Luck. What about this gentleman right here? I mean, he was considered, you know, the sure thing. So does
he's
he have opportunity as an offensive line, or is that – what do you think about that call? That's one that I had kind of as kind of questionable
What do you think, Rob? You know what? I think, you know what, that's a good call, Andre, and I think he's gotten the benefit of the doubt because I think we anointed him as elite before he even played in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, he got such a big head start as a sure thing that we just assumed that he's in that category. But I would agree. That's one – that's a miss on my part. I would agree that he hasn't – if you're being honest, he hasn't done enough yet on the field to justify being a leader. And since we're talking about Matt Ryan just being in, you know, a toe hold over it, you got to take Matt Ryan what he's done over Luck right now, you know, and we're still arguing his case. But it just seems like we just assume that Andrew Luck is elite. So that's a good call.
Okay. Like I said, that's a guy that just because if he would have had the offensive line, I think he's got the great potential, but, you know, they're trying to add pieces. And this is going to be an interesting couple of years, maybe one or two years to see. They got to surround and protect him, and he could, you know, turn to the quarterback that everyone thought he could be too. So we'll talk about that. And my last guy that I put in was Carson Wentz because I like the start that he's got. He's got a high arc. He had a tough last couple weeks because everyone's figuring him out. But I think he's started fantastic, pick up the offense, and he looks like he can be the next guy for sure for Philadelphia. They already saw their quarterback needs for sure. So,
you know what?
That's what I had for
my
guys.
One thing about that for both of you guys, and the reason why I left Dak and I went off of Dak, I have a hard time putting the quarterback coming off of, you know, don't get me wrong, a successful year for them as a rookie quarterback in terms of going into their sophomore year of taking that step into being elite. You know, I was trying to find guys that were like right near, just in or just out. But those guys, you know, if you ask me that 2, 3, 4 years from now, you know, maybe it's a different, you know, a different conversation for me. But I just don't know if, you know, and that's why I say that you're right about Luck, not having done enough. I just don't know if I can justify putting them all the way up to that level. You know what I mean? After just a rookie quarterback year of playing good ball, but then saying, they're ready to take that step to being elite. Like, we've seen quarterbacks have sophomore slumps, and I'm like, I don't know if I can quite say that yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all good. I mean, like I said, this is why we talk about it. It's great fodder, and everyone wants to try to be a little different, you know. So, I knew we were going to have some similar quarterbacks, but definitely great conversation for sure. Man, we're having a great time. All right, so, gentlemen, let's kind of move forward here. And I do want to briefly talk about a couple of the new rules that just came out. You know, the biggest rule that stuck out to me was the situation. I know we're talking about overtime and how they are kind of going to drop it down from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. We haven't quite got our love of having kind of college-style rules yet, but I think that's progress. And I love the fact that now they're going to start making it they've changed the rules as far as no 15-yard penalties for celebration. Now, obviously, you can't have any throat-slashing, taunting, anything that's kind of, you know, weapon-like stuff like that. Can't be prolonged. No more Dingleberry from Key & Peele. That was hilarious. But now you can literally at least enjoy that and kind of make it fun to score touchdowns, man. So, I don't know, Rob, are there any rules that you thought were pretty cool or your thoughts about the celebration rule, how this is a great move for the NFL that's, you know, finally going to change the misnomer for being the no-fun league, if you will?
Yeah, I like the change in the celebration rule, man. Let the guys have some fun. The fans like for the players to have some fun. Let's get rid of that stigma of the NFL being an no-fun league. And I think part of this is Goodell is trying to get back in touch with the players. And he's gotten out of favor with the players for quite some time now, probably ever since he's been a commissioner. And I think he's trying to fix that going forward. And I think this is just part one of the process of him fixing that going forward, you know, trying to add the celebration. Another interesting thing we're changing is the pass interference rule, which I actually kind of like. Going to the college rule of making it a 15-yard penalty as opposed to a spot foul. And,
nice.
I just hate when they throw the ball down the field and automatically, if it's pass interference, they get the ball on the 1-yard line. I mean, I never liked that rule. I like the college rule, the 15-yard penalty. instead of the spot foul. So that's another rule change I like. Not sure if I like the change in overtime, changing it to 10 minutes.
One time.
I would probably prefer to just go to some kind of overtime where everybody has equal possessions. And as opposed to having a clock on it or what have you. So I'm that's one that I'm not a big fan on, is what they did with the overtime rule. But the celebrations and the pass interference change, those two rules changes I really like.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I'm going to agree and I'm going to disagree. I agree with the celebration rule with Goodell trying to get back in favor. And I know Antonio Brown has got to be just so happy because he gave them a whole lot of money and OBJ as well. So I'm all for that. And, of course, the one dude that wants to come out and go against it is who? Marvin freaking Lewis. And I said, come on, Marvin, man, just go somewhere and sit down and be cool. What are you talking about? Let him have some fun. You had Chad. How are you going to be against when you had Chad on your team for all of the year? That's just crazy talk to me. For me, the overtime rules, I echo a little bit with Rob of, I don't know if that's going to do enough. I know they're trying to cut down the number of plays. If it was up to me, I would do the college rule. Instead of doing it to 25, I would do it to 35 and keep the college rules the same. And then you don't have a 42-yard field goal. If you don't make another yard, you got a 52-yard field goal. So it makes it harder for an NFL kicker, which is why I would move it back 25 from the 25-yard line to the 35-yard line. Mm-hmm. And the pass interference one, I understand it to a point, but here's the thing that you're going to get out of that now. As if a dude gets burnt, he can just full-on tackle somebody that was going to get a touchdown, 8 out of 10 times, and now it's only a 15-yard play when it was going to either be a touchdown or maybe he was going to tackle him at the 3, and that would have been a 53-yard play. So you're helping the cornerbacks out a lot, and I know it's a passing league and they're trying to tip the scales back, but if I'm a cornerback now with this rule change, I'm dancing. I'm in the hotel room hitting the Quan and all kind of crazy stuff because if I get beat, I have no reason not to just tackle somebody rolling past me, just grab them at the ankles and knock them down. You know what I mean? And go through them because it's only 15 yards. It's better than 50. So yeah. I think that one may be short lived if they get what I think may happen now when somebody gets burned.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it's interesting. There's good and bad to both sides of the rule. I mean, like I said, I kind of agree with Rob. I thought it was pretty interesting how I do like the fact that it's 15 yards, but then that's a good perspective, JQ, the fact that, if I'm getting beat for 50-something, then, maybe that will change the way that I play, man. So we'll keep an eye
Absolutely.
On that. I will
I just don't like rewarding the team, giving the ball automatically on the 1-yard line. That's especially if they're all the way at the 40 and they throw a bomb. And I don't think you're going to see that kind of – I don't think you're going to see guys – you don't see that at the college level being taken place. I don't necessarily think that's going to be an issue in the NFL either. Guys just tackling guys out.
Yes, you do. So you got to watch one of LSU football. They absolutely do that in college football.
I don't think it's a huge problem, though. I don't think it's a huge problem. I really don't.
You know what they could do to split the difference? And I see both sides of it. But they do that in college football. That if it was like 30 yards or less, you get the 15-yard penalty. And if it's 30 yards or more, you get the spot foul. Because I think that would deter it more than if it's just a flat 15.
I agree.
I'm not going to give up 30 extra yards if it's a 45-yard pass when I know, I can knock him down. And it's 15. And, yeah, they get a first down. But to Rob's point, they don't get a game-altering play that flips the whole field position by getting at the 45. Yeah. I think you're going to see guys do that. It may not happen in week 1 and 2, but somebody's DB's coach is going to say, hey, we're going to play press technique like we normally do, or we're going to adopt some more of that. And if a dude gets by you, and you think a big play is coming, just tackle him. And that's what I would if I was DB coach.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I don't know if it's going to be a huge problem. But to your point, I would agree. My whole thing is I don't like giving somebody a 60-yard. Now, if they just say, hey, if something like that happens, we'll give them to them on the 20 or the 25 or 30, I can probably live with a little bit more. But giving them the ball automatically at the 1-yard line, I don't like that rule at all.
Okay, that's a decent compromise. I think people can live with that.
Yeah, good call. Like I said, I think in the day, there's still the good news is that there's more opportunity to kind of fix the game because there's some things that we know in our head, hey, this didn't work, and I think that at least the league is trying to make it more you know, like I said, for the fans, and like you said, Rob, connect with the players, man. So I agree with that. The reason why they cut the overtime down was the fact that I think players were spent playing for an extra 15 minutes, which is why they cut that down, too. And they're also talking about that. The only two games that it affected, I think, was the one game that wasn't going to, like, last that long. I think it was the I think it was the Seahawks or the – who was it? I think
Cincinnati
it was
Washington.
The Denver Broncos. Yeah, that's the game, yeah. So there's a couple games that it didn't really affect that, too. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that's kind of the reason why they decided to go 10 minutes. But anyway, that's what's happening.
Well, I understand why they were doing it. I mean, I like it.
Yeah, that's why we have opinions, man. It's all good, man. No one's gonna come after us and say, what's the French toast, man. So it's all good. All right, let's talk about this. And I think this is a good conversation. The fact that congrats to Cleveland, they have punched their ticket to the finals, which everyone knew was gonna happen. So they just clinched the game. It was interesting. I know me and JQ were talking about this before you jumped on, Rob, to see like a lot of love that Cleveland had for Isaiah Thomas and Celtics, and, they gave him their one game. And it's interesting because I'm watching this, and you ever watch that cartoon with, it was like the wolf and the sheepdog. They're, like, fighting whatever back and forth the whole day, and then they're kind of talking, hey, good day, Ralph. That's what it reminds me of, because they're beating each other up, and, hey, guys, yeah, what's up, Greg? It's like, what? They were giving each other
Yeah, you went back
like
to that one. Way back to that one. Whoa.
I know, that's what it reminds me of, because, they're over there acting like, man, the fans are the ones that get, extended, and the players like, hey, what's up, man? They're all, they're all buddies.
They all
like,
hang out.
I don't know if that's something that would happen in the previous era, and we'll talk – that's what I want you to talk about, too, JQ, but it is interesting to see kind of how that's transpired. Now, I mean, I don't think you would catch, now you'd probably catch them, but I don't think you'd see Isaiah and Michael having a dinner or anything like that before the game or anything crazy like that, man. It's just a different era for sure, man. But with that, as LeBron James, space travel conversation, playoffs, Michael Jordan's question too. So go ahead, Jake. I'll let you kind of leave with that too, man. So.
Well, it's many layers to that. Like back then, and it really comes down to me for social media, where you didn't have that before. Until after they retired, I didn't know that Charles Oakley and Michael Jordan was homeboys like that. And they got into some battles in the playoffs, if you remember. There's some people that you're going to hate. I don't think LeBron is out there kicking it with Steph and we don't see it. And that's the other piece of it as well, is that these dudes are under a microscope 24/7. So anything they do, it comes out to light. And they're in a different era right now where the AAU thing for sure, where they played against each other and on the same teams before. They were supposed to be rivals where that didn't happen before. And I kind of feel like they kind of gotten together, we're in this bubble, but we're all going through the same bubble microscope together. So I think they kind of tend to gravitate more to each other as well. Because if you think about it, I wonder, and I don't think it gets brought up enough, if Michael Jordan would have a couple more chinks in his armor, if people got to see him on Instagram being a prick to his teammates, in practice, just being ridiculous, or some of the stuff he's done prickly with reporters, or he was just out womanizing and gambling like he has been reported to do, where you could get an eye on him more, as he's coming up through his level of stardom, where LeBron and these guys are. You know what I mean? They're under a much bigger microscope than those guys were. So you could get away with a whole lot more than and other people that they're associated with that we didn't know about that they can't do now.
Good call. Back to you, Rob.
Are we talking about the playoff comparison with Jordan and
LeBron? Keep up, man. Wake up, bro. Come on, man. Yeah, man. We're talking about.
I was leaving that piece for you. I was just talking to letting people know what me and Dre talked about.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I got sidetracked. I'll admit it this time. It was me this week.
I'll record that one.
But getting back to the obviously. In my era of watching basketball, Michael Jordan is the best basketball player that I ever seen. And so, I mean, obviously there are a lot of comparisons with LeBron James versus Michael Jordan. And, this is not a slight on Michael Jordan. Once again, I think he's the best basketball player that I ever seen and one of the best clutch basketball players I've ever seen. But LeBron James – and, if you really analyze, the teams that he's taken to the finals and versus the teams that he has played in the finals, It's not even close. That 2007 Cleveland team he took to the finals, you know, that team without LeBron James probably doesn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago.
Daniel Marshall and Mo Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 2 years ago, that team he had with the finals with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving was hurt, and they still won two games from Golden State. He's facing Golden State Warriors about to be three straight years in the finals. Michael Jordan has never faced a team as good as this Golden State team in the finals. Let's be real. Probably the, you know, you can make an argument for that first team he beat in the finals in the Lakers. But that was toward the end of Magic Johnson's career. They didn't have Kareem. And then Utah, you had Stockton and Malone. None of those teams were as good as this Warriors team. And this year's Warriors team is definitely going to be the toughest one for him to even have a chance at beating. So when you compare it, it's pretty obvious that his competition has been a lot stiffer. But also
– whoa, whoa, whoa.
When you look at the I'm sorry?
I said, whoa, I won't say a lot stiffer. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No. I'm saying that when it comes to the finals teams that he's played, and then when you talk about the teams that he's taken to the finals, and then when you look at that, Jordan is going to the finals with Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, Dennis Rodman every time he's gone to the finals. LeBron has taken some teams, like we talked about, that without him probably wouldn't even be in the playoffs. And so it's but that being said, like I said, this Michael Jordan is, in my opinion, still the greatest basketball player to have ever laced him up. And LeBron James, I would put him somewhere in the top five. But I will say he's definitely had tougher competition when you got to the finals levels than Michael Jordan ever had.
I can't go with that, Rob. I can go with half your argument. I can go that he's taken lesser teams to the playoffs and the finals. I will give you that. I agree with that as a statement to be true. But I won't say that he's had way stiffer or even stiffer competition. You talk about not just the finals, because you got to talk about also that era in the teams he faced getting in the Eastern Conference Finals, having to go through the Pistons, having to go through the Pacers. Having to go through the Knicks. And then you talk about when you get to the finals, you're getting Charles Barkley's Suns, you're getting Stockton Malone's Jazz, you're getting Gary Payton and Sean Kemp's Seattle teams, you're getting Magic Johnson's Lakers teams, you're getting a Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter.
None of those teams have more than two stars on it.
Yeah, I mean, those were some tough teams, though. Like, I'm not gonna.
They were tough teams, but none of them had more than two stars on them. None of them.
Golden State is the best of those things, but in terms of every year going through that gauntlet, where if you pick four of those seven and having to deal with them, that is crucial. I can't say it's stiffer competition, A to Z. I think Cleveland has the peak competition in this Golden State team the way they can constitute it because they can just flat out shoot the ball. But in terms of a start to finish, you know, average or mean score, in terms of who they face from the beginning of the playoffs to the finals every time they've both gone, I can't say it's stiffer competition. I just won't discredit those older teams.
Yeah.
Those were some squads.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I think you had squads that went like 10 deep, and it was a different game. And I know we can talk about this for like ever. I mean, some of the ticky-tack fouls are calling now, they would – that half that stuff wasn't even called back then. I mean, you pretty much got assaulted, man. Jordan got assaulted going into the lane, man. You talk to Jordan rules. I mean, here you trying to take layups. Charles Oakley ain't letting you take no layups. Xavier McDaniel, none of like the Suns. I mean, those were some squads, man. I mean, they went like 10 deep, you know. So you went
those towers
you had your five, then you had your second five. I mean, you had I'm going back to the Rockets, Hakeem. Otis Thorpe. I mean, there were some squads, man. I mean, and
you had the Davis brothers down low for Indiana.
And mentally, yeah, you had to be prepared. If you knew, okay, I'm going into this game, you know, them jokers, they knew each year we're gonna play the Pistons. And you know that, you know, you tweaked the teams, but you knew pretty much that, hey, this is gonna be a tough year that I gotta go through. And not only do you have to get through that squad mentally, but you know, physically, there was so much more. I think that were involved back then. And like I said, I agree with you. I mean, I agree that Golden State has a better team, better, you know, superstars, but I just think it was a better – you face, like, Spur-like teams, like, all the time, and they were just better
And the Cavs. Don't forget about the Cavs with Mark Price and Doherty and Elo and Nance. They had a squad too. Yeah, I was like, they faced some good teams. I'm not going to discredit those.
Everybody had some squads, man. It wasn't like, hey, and those jokers played together so much, man. It was like they were like a well-oiled machine, man. It was, you know, I would say like if you kind of let that team go to this era now, like we talked about last week, your sixth man would be on a different squad. Like Byron Scott would go to a different team, or like Michael Cooper. So your bench would get weaker. And you got salary cap now. We got luxury tax. And there's different ways how we're trying to handle things now. Things aren't under a microscope like we are now. But again, Rob, like I said, it's a good call. But and Michael, I agree with you, Michael Jordan. He's up there for me too, man. But I don't know. We'll have to see about that, man. But anyway, we're still moving forward.
In year number one. Michael Jordan's first playoff year, 1986, and LeBron James' playoff first year was 2006. Well, Jordan faced the Boston Celtics 65-17, so you got to say Jordan had the tougher competition that year. Playoff two, Jordan 1987, LeBron James 2007. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that year that LeBron James had the tougher competition. In the playoffs that year, obviously faced the Spurs in the finals. They got swept. Detroit Pistons team that was 53-29 was LeBron James, and the Cavs were number two seed and hit the game winning shot to upset the Pistons in game six.
House of Fire.
So that year, you got to say LeBron faced a tougher competition. Playoff year number three, Jordan, 1988. LeBron James, 2008. Stiffer competition that year goes to LeBron again. The Celtics were 66-16 with Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen. Jordan faced the Cleveland Cavs 42-40, and the Pistons 54-28. And season number four looked like Jordan might have had the tougher
He's
year
that
year, 1989, and James 2009. This is the Cavs, what you talked about with Craig Elo and Brad Doherty, had the Knicks and the Pistons. And that's the year that LeBron got upset by the Magic in the playoffs. Year number five, Jordan in 1990 against James in 2010. I think you would have to go with Jordan that year, too. That's another year we had to play the Pistons. James had the Bulls and the Celtics. In playoff year number six, looked like LeBron had the tougher competition that year. Where they faced the Celtics with 56 wins, the Bulls with 62 wins, and the Mavs with 57 wins. That's three teams with over 56 wins in the playoffs. And Jordan on that, they faced one team with more than 56 wins in his year number six. It was pretty close when you really look at the stats. In year number seven,
James. I still think they're apples and oranges. It's all good.
James,
hey, Rob,
number seven had
hold
a tougher
thought,
year,
hold
too.
Hold that thought, Rob. We got about a minute 44. Why don't you set up the OT portion real quick, and then we'll let you finish your thoughts, and we'll talk about the mock draft or anything like that. Go ahead, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've moved through the show pretty rapidly. We'll be back on in 2 weeks. We're going to take a week off next week. We'll be back on Thursday night, June 8th at 11 p.m. I'm sorry, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. 8 p.m. Pacific time. You don't want to miss it. Once again, we're taking next week off. We'll be back on Thursday night, June 8th. Good night, people.
JQ?
Yep. Check me out with the G-Braves. I'm going to be on full blast duty here in June. Come check us out. Catch me on the replay board. Thanks for listening to the show, good people. I'll holler at y'all later.
Congrats on that too, JQ, man. That's fantastic, man, too. So a lot of luck for that. All right, Rob, finish your thought, man, as we wrap up the OT portion. I'm not even going to say that, JQ. You're just going to automatically have to do your thoughts and do your little ending, too. So just know what to do, man, as far as that, too. So.
I'm good.
Yep. All right, go ahead. Finish your thought there, Rob. I'll let you continue on here. I still think it's apples versus oranges, but go ahead.
Yeah, year number seven, you got to give the edge to James, too. He had to go through the Celtics and OKC. And the only team that had a legitimate record in Jordan's whole playoff run that year was the Portland Trail Blazers. Who they beat in the finals. And then when you look at year number eight, this is the Phoenix Suns, Charles Barkley team that Jordan had to go through. And so I would give the edge to Jordan there. LeBron had to go through the Spurs with 58 wins that year, and Jordan had to go through the Knicks and the Suns. on that particular year. Year number 9, got to give the edge to LeBron here. Jordan only faced one team with more than 57 wins that year, when LeBron had to go through the Pacers and the Spurs with more than 57 wins that year. Then we look at year number 10. This is probably, you have to give the edge to, well, it's pretty close, this one. The Golden State has 67 wins. The Atlanta Hawks had 60 wins. LeBron James went against that year. Seattle had 64 wins. So that's the year of the 67-win Golden State team. So you got to get the edge to Jordan, LeBron there. Mm. And then last year, year number 11, you got to get the edge to LeBron again, going against tougher opponents. Golden State, 73 wins. Toronto Raptors, 56 wins. And, of course, the Utah Jazz with Stockton and Malone had 64 wins. And then, of course, now this is this year, in year number 12, and you got to say it's LeBron again. Jordan went against year 12, the Stockton Malone. But this year, you got the 67-win Golden State Warriors coming up here in the finals this year. So when you really look at it from that aspect of it, LeBron James has had tougher opponents. For the most part, in 12 of these years, look like he's had a tougher competition. Eight of the 12.
I definitely disagree. I think Top of the orders, bro.
Yeah,
I just think that the league was. I think there were better teams back then, and they were. It's kind of parity because they didn't take time off. And I think the teams were more balanced. So I just think it's just that's they were beating each other up, man. So you're not going to have a 70-win team back then because there's more talent. There's more talent now, but still, I think they're better teams. So I just think they're beating up each other, So I think the record only matters, bottom line. So, shoot, Pistons now would pretty much assassinate I'm sorry to use that word. They would probably, just wipe the floor with the Cavs because they would probably get in their head mentally. They walk off the court, in their black, what? Cavs don't know what to do with that, man. You don't want to shake our hand, they'd be crying. Social media, you don't want to shake our hand. I'm telling you, man, they would do some crazy stuff, man, and it was all mental. So I just think it was a mentally more. Charles Oakley, he didn't let me do any layups. I'm telling you, you try to do one layup, go down the lane there. LeBron, try to go down the lane with Charles Oakley getting there.
The rules of the game have changed now. I mean, the rules don't allow for a lot of those things.
Well, I'm just saying, still, that's another – it's a different – if Jordan's playing now, he probably scored 100 points, man. I'm telling you, it's totally different, man. But anyway.
I'm not knocking anything that LeBron has done. I mean, Michael Jordan's done. I think he's totally missing the point.
Well, I think you're talking about stiffer competition, and yeah, the rules and the error, everything's making a difference, but – I think it's tough to compare it like that. I think it's apples versus oranges. That's all I'm saying. So we'll agree to disagree. LeBron is doing fantastic. He's doing amazing things, bottom line. So, but, again, that's just my opinion on that, too. We'll spend forever talking about that. Maybe we chop it up next or the following week as well. I do want to talk about the mock draft, Rob, if we can. I do also want to talk about the Warriors and Cavs and kind of your thoughts about Chris Paul too. So let's jump into the mock draft here. We got about 10 minutes or so, about 12 minutes to kind of wrap this up too, man. So go ahead about the mock draft, man.
All right, really quick. No changes really at the top. Still got Markelle Fultz going to the Celtics, Lonzo Ball to the Lakers, Josh Jackson to Philadelphia, De'Aaron Fox to Phoenix, Jason Tatum to Sacramento, Malik Monk to Orlando. Lauri Markkanen is the one guy I've kind of moved up a little bit. I had him at about 9. No, last week, have him going up to number 7 to Minnesota. Got Jonathan Isaac going to the Knicks. Dennis Smith, point guard from NC State, going to Dallas. A point guard that I'm really high on is that good size coming out of France. Frank Ntilikina, I have him going number 10 to Sacramento. Ivan Rabb, another guy I've kind of moved up in the draft from my last mock. Have him going to number 11 in Charlotte now. Big man from Cal. Zach Collins, big man from Gonzaga, going number 12. Skip down a few spots. Luke Kennard, shooting guard from Duke. I moved him up a little bit as well. I am going 14 to Miami. Justin Jackson, small forward from North Carolina. I am going 15 to Portland. And let's see here. Jared Allen, big man from Texas. I have him going to your Hawks at number 19. Ike and Nick Bogu from UCLA here. I'm going 20. To Portland, T.J. Lee Farr from UCLA here. I'm going to Brooklyn, the 22. Tony Bradley, who just signed with an agent and will remain in the draft. Big man from North Carolina. I'm going 24. The Utah. And another guy I kind of like deep in this draft, Kyle Kuzma, forward from Utah. Have him going 26 to Portland. Harry Giles, big man from Duke, going 27 to Brooklyn. Also, your Lakers, JQ, number 28, Terrence Ferguson, a guy who was an elite high school prospect a year ago, decided to skip college and go play pro ball in Australia. Didn't particularly play well in Australia, but his upside is still very high. Has the opportunity to be an elite defender in the NBA level. Have him going 28 to the Lakers, and the good thing is he at least got some pro experience coming in. But he's still got a lot to grow in his game.
Hey, who do you have the Hawks picking in, Rob? I'll let you finish your thought real quick. Who do you have the Hawks picking, Rob? Say it again.
I have him taking Jared Allen, center from Texas.
Okay, cool. Go ahead and do your thoughts, JQ. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all. I don't have a whole lot to add to that. You know, I'll lean on Rob for my NBA draft coverage. I just wish the Lakers would take De'Aaron Fox from Kentucky. That's who I would love to have. I think they got enough people they're going to try to have score. He can go out there and facilitate and play good lockdown defense. I think that would be a better fit for him. I don't know if Magic can pull the trigger, but we'll see.
Gotcha. Good call. Let's talk about really quickly. Let's talk about the Warriors' team role in the NBA. Is it a good thing? Is a question. And then preview that, and then you know Chris Paul. See if we can add all that in really quickly because we got about 9 minutes to kind of fit that in. So, are the Warriors' team role in the NBA, is that a good thing, Rob?
Well, from a rating standpoint, the way they just swept through the Western Conference Finals 4-0 and beating every team 4-0. It can't be good for the NBA from a rating standpoint. Now, maybe this series could have been a little bit more competitive if Kawhi Leonard was healthy and maybe having Tony Parker. I don't think the Spurs would have won the series even with them, but it could have possibly been a little bit more competitive. So that might have something to do with it. But obviously, for the NBA's sake, they're hoping for a competitive NBA Finals because the way these two series look, and Cleveland obviously almost practically let Boston win one of those games. I hate to say that, but they practically let Boston win one of those games in that particular series. So the way these two teams have steamrolled through the playoffs, the NBA has to hope for a competitive Finals from an interest standpoint because these games here, a lot of them have been blowouts. They've lost fans midway through the games. It's been hard to watch unless you just want to witness greatness. Obviously, watching LeBron James and watching Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, you're watching the three best players probably in the NBA today. We know they're not going to win the MVP, but they're probably the three best players in the NBA today. So unless you're just excited about witnessing greatness here, I'm sure the NBA would like for a lot of these games to be competitive. They need a 6-7 game series in these finals.
Go ahead, JQ.
We talked about it before. I think we've always had a handful of teams that you knew going into the season were going to be the prime candidates to win. I think what the difference is this year is that it's not five or six from the conversations we had earlier. It's really two. You know what I mean? It's Cleveland, it's Golden State. But what I think is good about it is that I think everybody knows about that trilogy. I think Rob is spot on that they have to have a competitive series and be sure to keep people in tune. But I think at least for game one, everybody was kind of just waiting. I think the NBA playoffs start now, for a lot of people that are just casual fans. So I think they'll be able to rebound. But, yeah, in order to maximize, you know, the ratings and the revenue, it's going to have to be competitive.
Yep, I concur, man. What's the preview, man? What's your preview for the Cavs versus the Warriors, JQ?
No, I hate to say it, but I think Golden State wins in five.
Well, Rob?
I think Golden State wins the series. I hate to say it, too, because I really would like Cleveland to win it. But I'm going to say in six.
What's the word on the street in that the – Chris Paul's considering joining the Warriors. Did you hear about the story, JQ, or is this all Rob here? I'm sorry.
The thing about it is, you know, Chris Paul is the president of a players union. He's got, of course, you can't get away from his State Farm commercials. If he's kept his money right, you know what I mean? If he's kept his money right, because you got to think about it. I think the Clippers, and keep me honest, Rob, I think the Clippers can offer almost like $30 million more on that contract that he will be giving up. And so, I mean, that's a lot in the pursuit of a championship. But he's one of those guys that has had not even made it to the Western Conference Finals, I don't believe, or made it like once. That's a really, 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 really good fit for him with Pop and with Kawhi and Paul Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge. I really think that's a really good fit for him. But that's a lot of money to turn down if you Chris Paul.
Mm. Yeah. Is this something that, Rob, that you heard on the street, or this is something that, you know, this is actually there's smoke in the fire?
Well, I'm sure it's a, you know, it's a legitimate rumor. And we've said this on the show before. I mean, I know I've said it 1,000 times, and I've even said when I'm walking the streets, Chris Paul is not going to win a championship with that Clippers team. I mean, with the way that team is set up right now, with Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, they've gone as far as they can go, and they can't get past the second round of the playoffs. And so I think at this stage of the career for Chris Paul, I think the thing you can consider, obviously he can take a longer-term contract and make more money with the Clippers. But do you want to win a championship? Do you want to take a deal like Kevin Durant did, which he signed a 2-year deal with a 1-year opt-out, and then you can re-sign with your team for that long-term contract? Obviously, it's a gamble from an injury standpoint. So do you want to take a deal like a Kevin Durant, sign a 2-year deal with a team like the Spurs, or the 1-year opt-out option, then you re-sign and you can get that full max for staying with your team. And so, I mean, that's the thing you got to look at if you want to do it. I mean, they don't have room for him in Golden State, so he can't go there. They probably don't have room for him in Cleveland, so he can't go there. So what's the next best team that can give him an opportunity at winning the championship? And I don't think he'll be the difference maker in Boston. So it would have to be the Spurs partnering up with Kawhi Leonard, who's probably one of the top 5 players in the game today, top 6 at worst, and trying to see what you can do there to compete possibly with Golden State. But he is not, I'll say it to him blue in the face, he's not going to win a championship with that Clippers team.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's true.
Wow.
I agree.
Wow. Anything nothing else to add to that, JQ?
No, that's perfect. That's what I'm saying. It's right now for him, like I said, did he keep his money right? It's money for money versus rings. And Rob is right in terms of the 2-year deal with the opt out. But all the things he said about the injury, and you know, these guys are smart. You know, they're much smarter businessmen. That thing, you know, it keeps evolving. Will they make that decision? I've had that conversation actually with Mike a lot. We've argued about dudes taking less money to win a championship, and he always argues to be blue in the face that nobody's leaving $30 million on the table, and he ain't either. So you can't count another man's money, right? You know, that's still $30 million in year one that you're foregoing for that championship ring. How much does it mean to you? For me, if I done my money right, I would go for it and do that plan that Rob talked about. For other guys, they may not do it. They want to value every single penny on every single dollar they can get.
Gotcha. Good call. Hey, really,
it's going to be a very interesting decision. It's going to be – I think he's going to be the key piece in free
Rob
agency
Hart.
This year to kind of see how things go with him. If he's staying with the Clippers for the money, or is he going to, you know, look around the league and see who he can find a championship contender with. And I tell you, you know, y'all might make – I may sound like a homer with this.
Uh-oh.
But if there's an elite free agent that can partner up with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, I think you can be a contending team in the Western Conference.
No. So how about the super team? How about the super team theory? And I told you, and y'all always laugh at me, but he resigns and gets all his money. You can get Dwayne Wade probably a little cheaper because he has one of those deals where he can opt out. LeBron has one of those deals where he can opt out. And Carmelo is – everybody in the free world knows he's on the block, and you can get him for a bag of Skittles and some Starbursts. I mean, if they want to play together, they have a golden opportunity. In L.A., I won't dismiss it because, remember, people dismissed that whole Miami thing because they didn't know the backstory of it, and it happened. And everybody was like, what? That really happened? It could be. I know it's a long shot. You know, I know I'm running out the 16th date at the Kentucky Derby with that, but I'm not going to dismiss it until it don't happen.
gotcha. I'm gonna dismiss it. I don't think it's gonna happen. Just like you dismissed my Pelicans theory, I'm gonna dismiss that theory. That theory's not gonna happen. Plus, you know, if LeBron James and Chris Paul were smart, he left Dwayne Wade for a reason because he was old and he was injury prone. He's not gonna wanna. Dwayne Wade would have
he'll
to
be
a fifth
option,
or sixth
though.
Option.
He'd be the fourth biggest behind him, C3 and Melo. I mean, he'd be fourth. You can't ask him to play 38.
It's been a fun time.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all. We'll keep
I mean,
going.
He's got Kyrie Irving right now.
So that's the following week, guys. It's been fun talking with you guys. Peace out, man. Nice talking with you guys. Peace out.